Welcome back to Fresh Air. Architects from Kansas City, Missouri have a new record out. It's called Revenge, and we were just listening to the first track off of it called Reciprocity.
Yes.
Give blood, make love.
Yes.
Is not a question.
Not a question.
Care to explain?
That part? It's a dirty business. You know, that the whole love and romance, it's a dirty business. It's like saying, oh, I'm gonna join the CIA, but I'm not gonna kill anybody. You know, it's like, well, then you're not really gonna be a secret agent if you're not really at some point you're gonna kill somebody, or you're gonna be a dead secret agent. So there you go.
So representing Architects as a whole, we have Brandon Phillips.
Yes.
And one of three brothers, Phillips, and one more, which round out the Architects.
Yes.
Your brothers are Zach and...
Adam.
And the other one?
Michael.
Alexander, right?
Michael Alexander.
And this is a lineup that has gone back into your formative years as of... We're like, talking like you're celebrating, what, golden anniversary here?
It's your indie golden anniversary, yeah. It's like it would be 10 years. What? Yeah, this month it would be like 10 years since we. It would be 10 years since we started a band and called it the Gadgets, like my brothers and I.
Right. Okay. And so how old are you now?
Old.
Old enough. Good enough.
Like I'm a microsecond from gray pubes.
Oh goodness.
Yeah.
Go there. Go there.
I'm just moments away from. From turning gray down below. It sucks.
It must be hard to wake up in the morning.
Yeah, well, not since I discovered Grecian formula. And so now I'm trying to conceal my age. I'm like smearing Vaseline on my face every night so I don't get wrinkles, that kind of thing.
These are the kind of strategic moves that you've learned to make after 10 years in the music business.
No, this is what I learned from watching that movie Mommy Dearest.
Okay.
That's how she looked. She kept herself looking young. Washed her face with rubbing alcohol and
right.
Slept with Vaseline and cucumbers on her eyes. And,
right.
Yeah.
Any other that you'd care to share? Any more?
I don't have kids yet, but I beat my dogs with hangers.
Hmm. Let's just talk about music.
Okay, cool.
So this is the, second Architects record?
It's the second Architects record.
And if you were to date it back to the Gadgets, it'd be like your sixth record or something like that.
Oh, it'd be like the seventh, yeah.
Seventh record.
Yeah.
Are the Gadgets, should we kill that? Should we not even go there?
Can go there. It's part of the whole story, you know? The Gadgets were adorable for a second there. I can't imagine that people actually liked our songs, but they definitely thought we were cute in our hats and, the...
Pork pie hats?
Yeah, whatever we wore on, our enthusiasm, I'm sure, was, carried us a lot further than our talent.
Well, let's bring it up to the future now, and this is all you have to be judged by. Each time I see a new Architects record, I am impressed that there is a new Architects record because you guys have been through a lot. You've, been real close to the rock and roll dream of being on a major label and had it snatched away from you real quick. And yet, I see no signs of letting down.
We made our choices, a long time ago, I'm totally cool with living with those choices, and part of living with those choices is not being a pussy and copping out and, you know, saying, oh, okay, I'm going to finish my English degree and just teach or something. You know, it's like that would be, that would totally be surrender. That would be a gigantic letdown, and it would open the door to the, you know, at that point there would inevitably be some retarded gadgets reunion, you know, reunion tour, greatest hits record or some crap like that. Like the minute you give up on what you're doing right now is that's the same minute that you start getting nostalgic about what you did back then. And it's like, I am so not impressed with, you know, whatever I did 6 months ago, you know. And you know, none of us are. Like, we're all workhorses. We want to work. We want, you know, I like what I do a lot, and you know, I don't. Hanging it up would be like such a classic, you know, that would be a very classic thing to do. You know, just, oh well, we didn't get famous. I'm not rich, so it must not be worthwhile.
The dust is dusted. We live in handcuffs. Police beat somebody down.
Just to fill people in on the backstory a little bit, the major label that you were on briefly was...
RCA.
And that was when you were the Gadgets.
Yeah.
And it lasted, what, like a year or something? And no record came out of it, right?
It lasted forever. It was like an eternity of, like, just, like, waiting on, you know, waiting on some suit to make, you know, to decide that, you know, he was, like, comfortable enough in his, you know, in his marriage and his drug addiction and his... you know, salary and his pension and his 401k that he could let us, you know, go make a demo or something. It was retarded. It was like making records for the government or something. Like, that is it's the most disgustingly bureaucratic, you know, goofy exercise in futility ever.
And you were telling me before this interview that you actually think you got the upper hand out of them.
Oh, God, situation. Yeah. I mean, they bled me for a lot of my time. You know, they wasted a lot of my time, but as far as, like, the swindle is concerned, we did not get cheated by them. Like, we, you know, if anybody swindled anybody, we totally swindled them and are not even remotely ashamed to admit it. The world owes my van a DVD player, you know, and we took that. That was our price. It was like, okay, you got a year of my time, I get a DVD player for the van. Because, you know...
That's at least the $50...
It's a nice one. It's not like okay. The truck stop one. It's okay. Like, it's
a good,
you know,
one.
It's one that you have to get professionally installed.
Right.
Yeah. We broke it, but, I mean, we got it.
That's the important thing.
Yeah, the important thing is that we got it. You know, and, you know, the DVD player, you know, being the small token that it was, like, well, you know, I'm cool with that. I think we're square with the house as far as RCA is concerned. They can sign us again anytime they want.
Like, do you think that will happen?
You know, weirder shit has definitely happened.
Uh-huh.
Like, they're free to come sniffing around and with their checkbook anytime. You know, and don't forget the checkbook. But they're definitely free to come sniffing around any old time. Like, we will we'll gladly eat more of their sushi. And,
is it a goal to keep attracting majors, even having had, like, a, you know, sort of disappointing experience?
I don't know. It's kind of a desperate housewives approach to the music industry. You know, it's like, oh, I'm 40, but I still want to be hot. You know, so I mean, I'm more concerned with, like, whatever is gonna, like, you know, a wise old. Friend of mine told me that you make one record to get to the next record, you do one tour to get to the next tour. So you know, if going to a major label or, you know, signing with, if RCA came back around and they're like, oh god, we're so wrong, we're so sorry, and, you know, really, like, scraped and begged, you know, if that's how I'm going to get to do my next record, then that's what I'm going to do, you know.
Yeah. Well, the past is the past, and we do have a new record here to talk about. So let's talk about Revenge, as it's called. First of all, the title. Why did you pick that title?
It's like the omnipresent theme of my existence. Like, you know, if I'm driving with the radio off, the, you know, what is most likely happening in my imagination is some kind of like violent fantasy about exacting vengeance on somebody, and it's probably because I didn't grow up being a very confrontational person, and so all the confrontation generally happens in my head, and it's usually really bloody and like cruel, like Genghis Khan cruel, you know, like Vlad the Impaler cruel, and you know, that's just kind of how I stay a balanced person, I guess. That's the default application for keeping my mind at ease.
That and cucumbers on your face.
Yeah, well, no, that's physical beauty. This is, you know, inner beauty.
I don't recall any ballads on this record.
No.
Am I onto something here?
Thank fuck. I've finally reached the point where I am no longer deluding myself about anyone's eagerness to listen to me perform a ballad. Like, I still write them, and I make tapes of them, and I send them to Christina Aguilera, and I send them to Ashley Simpson, and, you know, the people who record ballads that America loves to hear. Yeah, because I am not a fucking balladeer. Like, I wish I was. Like, there is, you know, I have this strong desire to be, you know, a balladeer or a hired hitman or a stand-up comedian, and I am nothing but, the only ball I have in my hand at the end of the game is that I, you know, is this, like, rock. I just can't do it. So, yeah, no ballads. That's just, you know, I think I'm doing the world a favor. I'm definitely doing me a favor because I don't have to, like, have that awkward moment of deciding on stage whether or not I'm going to, you know, ruin a perfectly good gig by attempting to slip a slow one in on people, which is just this dumb. Let's braid ourselves with strength against this changer.
Let me ask you a question, since you're such a bitter person, as exemplified by your revenge fantasies.
Yeah.
What is getting on your skin, under your skin these days? What is irritating you, whether it be about music or life in general?
Let's see. Well, you guys, you Lawrence.com folks have certainly covered the Kansas grappling with its, you know, reality versus religious fantasy and ecumenical politics and all that type of shit.
Yeah.
That one definitely gets under my skin. There's a willful disregard on both sides to, you know, to like be, you know, at least, you know, to even acknowledge, much less be, you know, tolerate other people's shit. And then there's, like, on, you know, one side, of course, I tend to throw my support more to one side than the other, and
That being, of course, the conservative Republican creationist side.
That's just willful fucking ignorance, man. Like,
whoa.
I don't mean to, you know, fuck it. I'm ruffling feathers. Fuck you. Like, if you seriously want, like, evolution stricken from textbooks or prefaced with some kind of creationist warning, like, you should go to your medicine cabinet and throw away all your antibiotics. Throw away your aspirin. And because those were all made by scientists. And they believe in evolution. They don't believe in it. It's not a matter of belief. They know it. It's something that can be known. You know, so throw away your fucking aspirin and die in agony. Like, that's what you're
That's ostensibly what you're asking people to do is like, oh, we, you know, science is bad except for when it cures my headache. You know, like, fuck you. Like.
I'm impressed by your drink selection, Red Bull, being that the last person I had in here snuck in a Michelob.
Ah.
You bring your A game to the podcast studio.
Well, I do. Red Bull is definitely my A game. I can't stop drinking Red Bull. I wish I could stop, but Red Bull is scientifically formulated to hook you like heroin, and so now I don't even drink it because it tastes good or because it gives me energy. I drink it to like keep the withdrawals away because I'll get splitting, you know, drawl headaches if I don't drink it. So, yeah.
Presumably involved in the creation of Revenge.
Yeah, definitely. There was like liquid and solid and vegetable and all kind. You know,
waste matter.
There was a lot that, you know, we packed a lot into 4 days there. Yeah. There was a lot of everything.
Now, as you were describing to me earlier, you took a bang it out quick kind of mentality to this record. And does it really have to do with the fact that more kids are downloading crappily encoded music these days as opposed to, you know, buying your CD straight off the shelf?
No, that's absolutely just a rationalization that I can use to get it past record company people and get it past like producers, and because the most important, like, through the entire history of the gadgets, we have never liked our final mixes. Like, our rough mixes always, in our opinion, have always blown the final mix out of the water. And so we've consistently strived to find a place where we can just release a record that's, like, you know, rough mixed. By music industry standards, rough mixes kick ass. They sound dirty. They sound gritty. It sounds like it's just what you're hearing, like, out of the room that the band was playing in. And that always sounds good. Like, I like to hear a band. I don't like to hear a lot of technology and, you know, crap like that. I don't.
We'll let people
software, you know,
judge for themselves real quick here.
Yeah.
This one features a guest appearance by a harp player by the name of Ernie Locke.
Yeah, he's a bad motherfucker, isn't he?
Who is Ernie Locke? Tell us a little bit about
him. Ernie was in Sin City Disciples. Ernie was in Tenderloin. Ernie was in Parlay. And Ernie played on, the last Proper Gadgets record. And just about any time that I could possibly coax Ernie off, off his porch and into a studio or on a stage with me, like, I'm way down for that. I mean, he is like, Ernie is one of the most real and most gifted musicians that our region has ever produced. I think he's obviously a phenomenal harp player, and he's like a fountain of wisdom and hilarious anecdote, and a wonderful cook, and Ernie is many things, and so it is. Anytime I have 10 seconds that I can squeeze him onto a record, I'll go to the ends of the earth to do it.
So this is an Anodyne Records production, which you are an active member of,
yes.
At least as far as your band concerns, and a little bit beyond that, I imagine.
Yes.
Tell us about the Anodyne roster, a little bit about the Anodyne sound.
Up until now, the Anodyne sound and roster has been defined by the label started to release the Shiner Making Love EP. I think that was 1997 or 98, and since then had done like Shiner and String and Return and Dirt Nap and two Overstep records and Albert Crispin Glover and the Hearers record is just came out on Anodyne, and we've done a lot of what I would call like classic Kansas City type stuff, very dissonant, moody, you know, crashy,
angular.
Yeah, very angular Kansas City stuff. That and so
mathy.
Yes, mathy. Math is. Yeah,
we have some very smart people in the Kansas City music scene.
Algorithmic musicians.
Algorithmic musicians.
Yes.
Though that's maybe not as huge as like 2000, 2001. Shiner is no longer around.
Yeah.
Though the Life and Times are.
Yeah.
Still quite kicking.
Yeah, and very good.
Yes. What is happening in Kansas City these days, Brandon? What in your own backyard?
It's like the healthiest music scene that I've seen it be in a long, long, long time. And like when I was finally old enough to either like bum a ride or like drive to see shows like myself, it was amazing. You know, I would go and see, you know, Season to Risk and Boys Life open for All or something like that, and they would have, you know, there would be these sick, ridiculous shows with these bills that were like improbable. You know, that would never happen now. No one would ever have Season of Risk open for All now, so you'd never get a show like that now. But back then, it was cool, and you could see, you know, Season of Risk and Secular Theme and Danger Bob all in the same gig, and it was awesome. You know, and then somewhere along the line, it just, you know, everything got really, like, I don't know, the culture of the music scene kind of changed, and it got very white bread, and it was like, you know, if there was one pop punk band playing, it was five pop punk bands playing. If one metalcore band was playing, it was eight metalcore bands. And it was like all the shows just got really fucking boring for a long time. And it's finally coming back around, and like, you know, to being like, it just feels a lot healthier. Like, you know, it's like everywhere you turn, there's a really good band. So that's like a little civic pride. And it's also like, you know, a little, you know, record label excitement and stuff like that. Because it's like, I can't walk down the street without getting a good band stuck to my shoe.
Can you be a little more specific? Throw out some names as far as which ones are turning your ear?
I think Flee the Scene is like a sick band. Like, that band is just like smashingly good. I think, Jeepers, who else is really good? I think Super Black Market is fantastic. I think The Shun is like fantastic. And what else is really good that I saw lately? I don't know.
Here, we'll listen to some music and let you think.
Yeah, listen to some music. I'll think about it.
Anything come to you?
Yeah, totally. Life and Times, Fire 1666, and then there was Golden Republic and Roman Numerals, and the nice thing about this is like none of the bands that I've named necessarily sound like each other at all, and yet they could all play gigs together. Like, that's really cool, and they're all from the same place, you know. And it's not like I'd say we have a distinct advantage over the music scene in, say, like, you know, Anaheim or something, where if there's one band that sounds like Simple Plan, there's 500 bands that sound like a Simple Plan, and then there's, you know, in the next 2 years there'll be 500 bands that sound like, Avenged Sevenfold or something. You know, it's like, I think one of the advantages that places like Kansas City and Lawrence and Omaha and, you know, places like this have is that we're not like steadily marketed to. Like, we're like Kansas City and Lawrence, Omaha, we're always considered like tertiary markets by like the music industry standards. We are not anybody's high priority, and so we get away with not having stuff, you know, we get away with without being converted entirely to the consumer culture, you know, like Whitey doesn't do his best work with us, like, at all. Like, we're not the natives that he's trying to mission to, you know?
Here we have one of the more interesting titles off the record, which is Bury My Heart in Lebanon, Missouri.
Yeah.
Care to explain?
Well, Lebanon, Missouri has always been a place that stuck out in my mind because when you drive by and you see the sign for the exit to Lebanon, it clearly says Lebanon. If you ask someone from there, they'd be pissed at you if you called it Lebanon. They'll say, no, it's Lebanon. Where, you know, as a student of language, Lebanon would require the presence of two N's sequentially, and, you know, so I know that that's bullshit, that they just don't want to be called Lebanon. So, I mean, that's kind of, you know, that's kind of cool, you know. So, and then the other thing is that, like, it just seemed like the perfect place to set, like, a, you know, like a Western type story, and I like Western stories, and I like, you know, and I was specifically trying to, like, you know, to write about all the, like, the what was it? High Plains Drifter. Like, that movie is full of, like, there's, like, no dialogue whatsoever. Like, compared to, like, you know, a modern movie, there's no dialogue. It's all just pictures. And they're all, and it's pictures and sound and creepy. It's all just creepy. And that's Missouri, you know? Not a lot of talk. There's a lot of pictures and sound and creepy and pious townspeople that, that kill people and try and conceal the murder.
And this is its soundtrack.
And this is its soundtrack.
So people who are interested in picking up this record, where should they go?
Well, nowhere yet.
It's not out.
That's tough, yeah.
When does it come out?
It comes out February 21st.
Okay.
And at which point you should be able to get it at any record retailer that has an ounce of self-respect.
Meaning recycled sounds and...
Yeah, which means if you can't find it, I mean, just tell the clerk that they need to order a couple of copies, or you're going to single-handedly bring the entire racist establishment down upon their head.
The racist thing is what will really get them. They'll be getting that record before you can fry an egg on a hot roof.
Yeah, and then scream, "Mayhem!" and throw something across the store and run out the door. Like,
Architects coming soon to a venue near you in Kansas City and Lawrence.
Yeah.
Any shows you'd care to share right now?
Right now we're like leaving. I'm leaving town tomorrow to go on tour and won't be back. Won't be playing anything around until February.
Okay.
And like around the 21st or so, we'll start doing a bunch of CD release ish shows.
A four piece band.
We're not dragging the string section with us or anything.
Yeah. No keyboardist for the tour.
No flugelhorn.
No flugelhorn. Yeah. Are you enjoying that, I don't know. I don't want to say a lack of a keyboardist is a good thing, but you did have one for a while.
Yeah.
How is it?
I certainly don't want to downplay the importance of having the keyboard players that we've had.
Right.
Because, having the keyboard players that we had, and, you know, when it was, we finally got up to a point where it was keyboard players and Mike Alexander. Like, when there was a keyboard player and a Mike Alexander in the band, that really, like, set the band free in many ways, and it allowed us to, you know, to do all the stuff that we kind of dreamt of doing musically. And, but as the wise Krishnamurti said, limitation creates form. And so the loss of a keyboard player and the loss of you know, being able to kind of sever everything that is non-essential is now has created a new form. Now we have less to be creative with, so we have to be more creative with less.
And here is your Zen for the day.
Yes. Hare Rama. God is your leader. We're finished again.